This is Robbie Dillmore from the Christian Car Guy and Kingdom Pursuit, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build a kingdom. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds. Enjoy it and share it. But most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
Welcome to Finishing Well, brought to you by CardinalGuide.com with certified financial planner Hans Scheil, best-selling author and financial planner helping families finish well for over 40 years. On Finishing Well, we'll examine both biblical and practical knowledge to assist families in finishing well, including discussions on managing Social Security, Medicare, IRAs, long-term care, life insurance, investments, and taxes. Now, let's get started with Finishing Well.
Welcome to Finishing Well. Today, I find this topic absolutely fascinating. A question that would be posed to all of us at some point, man, exactly where do you finish well? It just seems like in talking to seniors and friends and my family that, you know, there's a big consideration. Do we sell the house and go to Florida to retire? Or where are we going to retire? Or at what point do we quit taking a house? And what are some of the tax things that are involved with that? And reverse mortgages and all sorts of places we're going to head on this. Where do we finish well today? But I think it's an interesting point that God, this is really huge to God. And the bet is a Hebrew letter for home. And the whole Bible itself starts with a bet. It's in the beginning. And that kind of that buh sound you hear there, because, you know, when you think about it, it's your heart's cry to be home. And so the number one, you know, topic for songs of all time, you might think it's love, but it's actually home in some shape or form. And just like, you know, so many hymns you can think about going home. And so home is precious to our hearts because we're kind of made in God's image and home's a big deal to Him. And so as we get to this stage, there's a lot of misconceptions and a lot of urban legends and a lot of misunderstandings. And we just start off with one being the tax laws if you sell your home.
Well, yeah. I mean, brought me to bring this topic. I mean, today we're talking about income taxes for the 62 plus. Is that each week we cover a different chapter in the book, and this is on income taxes, and we've been doing the show for a few years, and we've covered a lot of the obvious topics, and we'll go over them again. And this one just came to me. I have a client who has been a client for 7-8 years, and she just up and sold her house. She had been talking about it, but more like down the road in the future. And I think one of the neighbors or somebody came and just wanted to buy her house, and she made a pretty substantial profit on it. At least it was substantial to her. And she lives in Cary, North Carolina, which homes are typically above average or more expensive in that area. Anyhow, she lived there like 40 years or something, and she owned it with her prior husband, and she's been divorced for several years, and so she'd already sold the home, and she really called me to just find out how much taxes she was going to owe, because she's done all her financial planning, she's got long-term care taken care of, she's got plenty of savings and retirement accounts, and she's distributing them over time. She's got more than enough money, she lives very simple, and so she decided to move in with her daughter and her grandkids, and she has a son in the area as well. And what she's going to do with the proceeds of the sale of the house is just give it to her kids, half to one and half to the other, which I thought was terrific. It's what she wanted to do. And before she did that, she wanted to know how much income tax she was going to owe on the sale of this house. And I didn't even need to look it up. I said, Pat, this is pretty simple. Nothing. Zero. And she was just shocked. I mean, she knows me well enough to know that I'm just not going to give her, I'm not going to play a joke on her or something, or I'm not going to just give her, you know, like if I say it's zero, it's zero. And I knew the numbers on this. She had paid about $130,000 for her house like many moons ago, like back in the 70s or 80s. And she had gotten, I think, $250,000, which she sold, which was really a bargain in the neighborhood she's in and all that kind of, but in any case, she was thinking she's gonna have a big tax bill, and it was zero. And so she's not unique that I find, and you know, I know that you had talked about something. I find that a lot of people just don't know, because it isn't just the tax code is not written. You owe nothing on the gain on the sale of your house. So I'm going to teach you all what it is, because I can do it right out of my head. It's pretty simple. So we're going to get that in, and maybe we ought to do that before you talk about the lady you told me about just in preparing for the show.
Yeah, which I really hadn't thought about much, but she had a similar thing where she, a friend of mine that's a widow, and she was like, well, I'm thinking about sell my house, but then I've got to buy another house, and I got to roll this money in, or I'm going to pay a bunch of tax, and I can't afford to do that. And I'm listening, you know, thinking, oh, yeah, that's right, that's the way that was. But, you know, as I was listening to you, I found out, man, things changed like 20 years ago.
Yeah, more than 20 years ago. I mean, when my dad and mom sold their final house right before retirement in the mid-'80s, they had to pay capital gains taxes on all the gains they had made, not only on that house, but on the houses they had lived in prior to that. So they all just kind of rolled forward. And there's a lot of people that think that's the way the law still works. And it was the mid-'90s this was changed. And the dollar amounts of the exemption haven't changed one nickel since then. And the rules and that sort of thing. So I can just tell you what they are. Is for one person, you've got a $250,000 exemption on gain. And for two people, or a married couple, you got $500,000. And what that exemption, what it applies to is that's the gain on the sale of your personal residence. And in order to qualify for that, you have to have lived in the personal residence 2 of the last 5 years.
Yeah, so, you know, it would appear my friend meets the...
Sure she does. I mean, we just kind of guessed her house at $90,000 to $100,000 when they bought it 20-some years ago, maybe almost 30. And then we just guessed at over $200,000 of value. You don't really know those things exactly, but it's over in the same area where I am, in the Triangle area, and that sounds about right. It's a nice neighborhood. It may surprise you. It may be worth $300,000, you know. I mean, but she's probably been talking to some people, and somebody probably did sell their house and make a bunch of money, and they were uncertain of the tax too. But she's got a $250,000 exemption for the growth. So if her basis was $90,000, and it sells for $240,000, she's well within the parameters of $250,000. And if she, let's just say it was worth $350,000 or something, and just some ridiculous amount, and it was over the $250,000, there's some things I would do that I would study. And because when her husband died in, like, I think 2013, as you had told me, there was actually, she was eligible for a step up in basis of the value of the house, for half the value of the house, because he owned half of it, she owned the other half. So it's a little complicated. So we could go back in and pull in part of his $250,000 exemption somehow or another. So it's a pretty liberal thing, and you can do this every 2 years. So, you know, it's hard to make a gain of $250,000 on a house every 2 years, and especially in these day and times. I mean, some real estate is worth less now than it was 6 months ago.
And clearly, the law was set so for people that were entering into the age of retirement, you know, they actually would have their house as, you know, as they liquidated that asset to, you know, finish well, so to speak. And so, you know, same story, and you know, my friend, she kind of would like to stay in the house, she thinks, but her big upcoming, and she, all she lives on is her only Social Security, you know, her Social Security, so she has really small income, and you know, definitely lives, you know, under that alone. And so as she was looking at needing a new roof or a new HVAC, she's getting panicky, like, Rob, I got to do something, Rob. You know, there's something I need to do here. And, you know, I'm thinking about a reverse mortgage, or I'm selling the house and I wouldn't have the taxes. But then when I start talking to you about reverse mortgages, there's things there I've always wondered about that. but maybe you could help our listeners with some information along those lines.
Well, yeah, and before we even get to the reverse mortgage, you know, I want to talk a little bit about her. And, you know, I just find myself in a lot of these situations, you know, and maybe it was where the husband just died. And, you know, or you know, he died several years ago, and maybe she's sick now. And, she, you know, and then her daughter listens to my show or meets one of my clients or she knows, you know, anyhow, I'm there helping her. And, you know, I'm glad to help people in her situation, and I don't really even need to charge them. And it sounds like she's going to need some good, just kind of business sense about selling this house. So I mean, the one thing you had talked about is that she's got to do some repairs to it. And when you start valuing houses as an amateur, you're always going to value them according to what the one down the street sold for and the one across the street. And, you know, and then people kind of have a general idea what their house is worth. And that number is typically for a house in good condition. You know, I myself have my home for sale, and we spent 6 months paying people to come out and do all types of repairs, and they're small repairs. The house didn't look in disrepair, but it just, in order to get it ready for sale, to get that top dollar, you've got to do a number of things. And then while you're doing that, we didn't do everything that was recommended. So then you got to go through, pick through a list. So what she's probably going to need help with is, are we going to do if she's going to in fact sell the house, are we going to do nothing and just sell it as is and accept a lower price? Are we going to spend money to fix things so that we can command a higher price? But if we do that, are we going to make enough getting the higher price to pay for all the money we put in it? So that's just not a clear-cut decision, but she's going to need somebody with some business sense doing that. And, I would help her a bit. But, you know, if she was going to sell the house and she was worried about a big tax bill and now she learns she's going to have no taxes, and then it was appealing to her to perhaps move to an apartment or move to, you know, there's senior living apartments and there's all kinds of things that are out there that she could shop for. And if she does that, she's going to go in there with, you know, over $200,000 in cash at her disposal that she would need to invest. But, you know, it becomes a little easier to make a rent payment, you know, out of something like that. So she's going to need a bit of financial advice. But the last thing that she really needs to worry about is taxes. I mean, it just...
Yeah, which is really good to know. So today's show, you know, we're talking about where will we finish well? And, you know, what are some of the tax implications of that? All this information that we talk about is always found in Hans's book, The Complete Cardinal Guide to Planning for and Living in Retirement. Again, brought to you by cardinalguide.com. Don't forget the cardinal after guide. And you go to their website, email Hans for his book, or, you know, just, I got this situation, I need to talk to you. So when we come back, we'll get into those reverse mortgages and some other stories, I think, about where we can finish well.
Hans and I would love to take our show on the road to your church, Sunday school, Christian, or civic group. Here's a chance for you to advance the kingdom through financial resources by leveraging Hans' expertise in qualified charitable contributions, veterans, aid and attendance, IRAs, Social Security, Medicare, and long-term care. Just go to cardinalguide.com and contact Hans to schedule a live recording of Finishing Well at your church, Sunday school, Christian, or civic group. Contact Hans at cardinalguide.com. That's cardinalguide.com.
Welcome back to Finishing Well with certified financial planner Hans Scheil. Today, where will you finish well, and what does that look like from a tax standpoint? As we talked about, the home is a big craving all of all hearts to make sure that we have a place that we can call home, that we're comfortable, that we feel secure. And for widows, this is really, you know, it's a hard thing, and it's on God's heart. There's no doubt, you know, this whole subject.
Well, it is, and I mean, this lady that you were just speaking about, so the gentleman was first your friend, and then you knew them as a couple. He passed away in 2013. I think it's very noteworthy of you that, you know, not only are you looking after, but you've maintained a friendship with her, and which is great.
She's absolutely a dear friend, and they were dear friends. He had, you know, he initially introduced me to Tammy, you know. And,
oh, really?
Yeah. We were, and then we were business partners for a period of time, and so, yeah, we were real close. And he had type 1 diabetes, and died with, you know, one of those without life insurance, and it's just been hard. It's been really hard, but it just seemed like, you know, wow, I was his best friend. It would. And I love you. I mean, I love my friend anyway. So I, you know, clearly will enjoy our friendship as long as I can.
Well, it's no wonder she hasn't kept up the house. First of all, she's in her 70s.
Right.
She's a widow. He obviously wasn't in any shape to do it, even the years leading up to 2013 when he passed. And then financially, all she's really got to live on is a Social Security check.
Right.
And, you know, to pay all the bills of just keeping up a house, keeping a car, you know, buying groceries, just doing all the things. There just isn't a lot of room in there to call up repair people to come out and fix your house. So, you know, when we talked about reverse mortgages, and I know you had mentioned that she had considered them, and thank God she only considered them, because I just imagine if she's talking to you about this stuff, is I wonder if she's considered them. I mean, how far she's gone along with that. I mean, we don't really have to have the answer, but, you know, my sense is that people in her situation, they need a fiduciary advising them, and they need somebody that is looking after their interests more than the person selling something in particular.
Right, the TV commercial that says, call here will be for free information.
Yeah, about reverse mortgages. And so I don't want to talk about reverse mortgages like they're bad. Okay, because they're like any financial product, there's no such thing as good products and bad products. I mean, if they were bad products, they wouldn't be legal. I mean, their stuff's regulated by the Federal Banking Commission or the Insurance Department or Securities and Exchange Commission. I mean, financial products, you just don't really have bad financial products. What you have is inappropriate financial products for different groups of people. Okay, so let's talk about who a reverse mortgage might be appropriate for.
Okay.
And what I'm going to do is simplify that. It's for somebody that's house rich and cash poor. So, and that kind of fits her. I mean, if you took her net worth as, let's just say the house is worth $240,000 and her car is worth $8,000 or $10,000. And most people don't even include that, the car, in net worth, but we'll do it anyhow. She's got a net worth of $260,000 and $250,000 of it is in her house. So, and if she wants to live there the rest of her life, it might be something we consider. Okay. And if she does that, I'll help her do that. Okay. I don't sell reverse mortgages. But I know some people that do, and I will help her consider that. And then there's different types of reverse mortgages, and I'm certainly not going to get into those, all the different types, but one of them is just a line of credit reverse mortgage. So she, you know, if she would probably qualify for a reverse mortgage of about $150,000 to $170,000. So let's just use $150,000. Let's go on the low end. And if she got a line of credit reverse mortgage, she would, first of all, she's going to pay about $10,000 for this thing. I mean, it's not out of the $150,000, but out of the ultimate proceeds from the sale of her house after she dies, it costs about $10,000 to get a reverse mortgage. So they're not cheap. And they involve federal insurance.
So they don't
insurance.
Charge it up front.
Well, they do, but they just charge it against the loan balance. It's just against the loan balance. So she thinks she's borrowing $150,000, but she's really borrowing $160,000. Okay, I mean, I'm just making
right,
these numbers up, but I, you know, I'm not that far off. Okay, and so now she's got just a line of credit, which is really against her house. And if she wanted to go in the next day and say, "I want all $150,000, give me a check," they would. But typically, there are not rules on amounts, but what I would think she would want to do, even before she does this, is to price. Fixing everything in the house that needs to be fixed. She really needs to do that before she gets into all this financing, because after she sees that number, she may want to just sell the house as is or something like that. But in any case, let's just say that to fix the house, it cost 30 grand. I mean, it's
right.
And I'm just putting the numbers of the years together and, you know, the fact that the roof's gone and, you know, whatever was under the roof. And let's just say 30 grand. Well, then she could just go on about spending that 30 grand out of the $150,000 line of credit that she has. She should just draw against that. So she would draw 30 grand. And then she'd still have 120 sitting there at her disposal. You're not paying interest on money you haven't used yet, but she'd pay interest on the 30 grand.
Right.
But she doesn't pay that out of her own money.
But it's really 40 grand because of the 10,000. I assume they're paying 10. They're paying interest on that too from day one.
And there may be more than that. I mean, there may be other closing costs that I just. But I'm just using 10 grand as a nice round number. When I've looked at them, we have a mutual friend that I looked at one for, that was right at about what the number was. So the interest is just going to be added to the loan balance. So you don't have to make payments on a reverse mortgage.
One of the questions that came up that I was kind of shocked, did not know this, that, you know, okay, so now all of a sudden something happens to her. She's got to go to a nursing facility or assisted living or something. And
she's left the house. It's just like dying.
Right.
Because she's single. Now, if her husband was still alive, and he had to go to the nursing home, or she did, but there's one of them still in the house, or if she, you know, so if just one of them left the house and the other one was there, you can keep on living there, no payments.
But now she is leaving, so now there's payments, and so now...
No, there's not going to be payments. There's just going to be, now we got to sell the house.
Through.
Yeah, the loan comes due. We got to sell the house, and if you don't handle that, because you're going to be in no shape if you're in a nursing home to handle that, so then... whatever, the mortgage company comes in or the federal program, I'm not exactly sure how, but somebody comes in and just evaluates the house, puts it for sale. They got to pay a real estate commission.
Well,
you know, maybe some more fix-up.
Actually lived through one of these deals, you know, not to my anything but shame, but when I defaulted on my SBA loan for Westside, you know, I had a $2 million building that I paid to get the thing built, right?
Right.
But because... the bank was short the money, and based on they needed to liquidate the asset, I mean, I think they sold it for $630,000,
right.
Wrote off the rest of the SBA, and they charged it to me. And so when you say that, oh, you know.
Well, they can't charge it to your estate. So they can't, they're not going to charge that to her estate or to her family or her.
But what I am saying is whatever equity she had in the house,
That's why they're only going to lend her 150 grand, and then they're going to add 10 to it for the closing. So now they've loaned her 160. So they've got some real cushion there, because if she lives another 10 or 15 years, you're going to have all this interest added on.
So that story, when you listen to the commercial where the guy says...
it's all pretty in the story.
You don't own any payments until the last person leaves the house, but oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah, read the fine print.
Yeah, leaving the house is not what you were thinking that they were talking about there. You know, it's something to really consider and to go in with your eyes wide open. It may be a good solution, but, you know, you need to know what's going on, actually.
Well, and so as opposed to, I mean, whenever you're evaluating a solution like a reverse mortgage, you got to have something to compare it to. So one comparison is just to sit here and do nothing and just worry about it. And, you know, that's what a lot of people do by default. Another option would be to not fix the house up and just sell it and get less and leave with the cash and go somewhere and rent. And now she's going to be cash rich and house poor. But, you know, with $220,000 or something, that's not all bad. She could... go somewhere and buy, but she's going to have to, you know, get a brand new little small condo or something. That's going to be pretty tough to find over in her area for $100,000 or something. It's going to eat up a lot of her capital. And then perhaps the reverse mortgage option. I mean, so you just look through her options, but it's just, she's got too much of her money tied up in her house. So we need to we would need to sit down and just figure out what would be the best thing for her. You know, I just, these reverse mortgages, they're much higher regulated now than they were even 5 to 10 years ago. The people that are selling them are not unscrupulous anymore. They have a bunch of regulations they've got to follow about disclosures. But still, with all that, it's not a lot different than the commercial, is that people end up with these things, and then 5 years later, the whole family's kind of really regretting it.
Yeah. So, and today's show basically is on taxes on the age 64 plus. You're going to find that information in Hans's book, The Complete Cardinal Guide to Planning for and Living in Retirement, which is right there at Cardinal Guide, cardinalguide.com. And there's a chapter there on, you know, taxes.
Yeah. And this is a big part of taxes, is that this is one of the biggest assets that most people own, especially retired people. And you need to remember that you got to have somewhere to live. So, and, you know, in my situation, I'm trying to get set up at 61 into a house that I can just live in the rest of my life. And I don't plan to go to a nursing home. I plan to get home health care.
Me too. And I want to finish well at the home I have, if that's at all possible. Well, yeah. Thank you for listening today. Don't forget, you can get the podcast. You can binge listen to Finishing Well there at Siri. You can tell Siri, if you got an Apple iPhone or your Spotify or wherever you want to find us, just tell them you want to listen to Finishing Well. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed Finishing Well, brought to you by CardinalGuide.com. Visit CardinalGuide.com for free downloads of this show or previous shows on topics such as Social Security, Medicare, IRAs, long-term care, life insurance, investments, and taxes, as well as Hans' best-selling book, The Complete Cardinal Guide to Planning for and Living in Retirement, and The Workbook. Once again, for dozens of free resources, past shows, or to get Hans' book, go to CardinalGuide.com. If you have a question, comment, or suggestion for future shows, click on the Finishing Well radio show on the website and send us a word. Once again, that's CardinalGuide.com. CardinalGuide.com.